I'm sure you're all familiar with inaugural addresses, especially when presidents take office and being elected to their terms. Some are more memorable than others, just like homilies, I think. Hopefully, the content of the inaugural address matches the action of the president. In the gospel, our Lord had just gotten back from being in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, preparing himself for his public ministry. He gets back and goes into the synagogue and gives what could be considered his inaugural address. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, and saying at the end, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Our Lord's example matched the words of his inaugural address. He brought freedom to those in captivity, the captivity of sin. When the woman was caught in adultery, he interceded and he told her, "Woman, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven." Or the thief on the cross. What does Fulton Sheen say about the thief? The thief was the perfect thief because even at the last moment, he stole something. He stole paradise. "On this day, you will see me in paradise," the Lord says to him. In countless other examples, "Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Be free." Our Lord defeated the power of sin, what holds us captive, and open the way to freedom, to eternal life. He is the true light of the world, which allows us to see the truth plainly. So each one, making up the body of Christ, like we hear in the second reading, should match our words and examples to our head, which is Christ the Lord. To be faithful in thought, word, and deed, to Christ and his church. In doing so, we work to advance Christ's saving mission announced in his address, to bring good news to the poor, to liberty to captives, the light of truth to those blinded by the world's darkness and lies. We do this by living the church's values of respecting life, living with honesty and truth, establishing justice, working for peace, building up our families, doing all things in charity. All these further the mission of Christ, which we have a duty to being a part of his body. In a few weeks, our eighth graders will receive the sacrament of confirmation, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We recall from the Holy Spirit the great gifts that we receive from the third person of the Blessed Trinity: wisdom, counsel, understanding, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. In the Holy Spirit, we are linked with the words found in the gospel. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And ask ourselves, and we can ask ourselves, are we living out the commission given to us? Living out boldly and courageously, standing up for the truth, standing up for those unjustly condemned, living out our inaugural address of being Christian when we recite the creed. Like the apostles who burst forth from the upper room after receiving the Holy Spirit and went into the public square, so we are grafted onto the Lord's body. We burst forth into the world, giving witness to Christ by all our actions, thoughts, and deeds, everything that we do and say and think, following his great virtues, including forgiveness when we're unjustly condemned, including praying for those who persecute us. How beautiful it was in this past week, which has been very difficult, a week full of tremendous evil, with the kids of Kovkath being unjustly condemned. With the demonic governor of New York, who is a Catholic, passing a law that allows abortion right up to the point of birth. You can be born at 12:05, you can be killed at 12:04. What do we do in the face of such tremendous evil? The evil of our day. What is our response? Do we just sit back? What's that phrase? The only thing, I'm going to quote it wrong, but the only thing for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Do we stand by and watch the world fall apart? Do we just live in our own little world? Or do we go out like the commission at the end of the Mass? Go and proclaim the gospel by your life. The Lord was concerned with St. Paul. You know, he went to St. Paul, St. Paul in his sins, you know, was converted to Christ. So we, being part of the body of Christ, go out and bring people to our Lord Jesus. Bring people to the truth. Bring people to his peace. Model his virtues, patience, kindness, forgiveness, love. It's Christ that's what's going to change the world. And we are grafted onto his body. That's what the church is, the body of Christ. And as we hear in the gospel, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit is not a cowardly spirit. When the apostles were afraid in the upper room, they went out after receiving the Holy Spirit. They were no longer afraid. They went out and proclaimed Christ in the public square. Not even fear in death. We hear in the end of the first reading. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. In the face of evil, do not be saddened, but keep on persevering. Rejoice in the Lord, for he has triumphed over evil. That's what the cross is about. Sin, despair, death, it does not have the last say, but Christ does. So rejoice in him. Find your strength in our Lord. Here at Holy Mass, we come to receive him in his body and blood and take God out into the world. I love Fulton Sheen's little example of that. He says that we take Christ, we throw him out into the wolves, and then we go and we get him. So never be afraid to live the truth, to stand up for the truth. The truth will always prevail. And it's our task to persevere, to stand up for that truth always, to stand up for Christ. He gives us that strength. And we do that so all people may come to know the new life, the healing, the freedom, the peace, the love, the forgiveness, the salvation of our Lord offers, that our Lord announced today in his inaugural address.